seconds to go. Granilov, redirection. Bouncing behind the net. Save. Watch out! Watch out! UMass are national champions.
TSN 1200.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. 9:15 here on a Monday morning. JR and Hammer with you for this final hour on a Sens game day. Sens and Jets tonight at 7 o'clock. 5 o'clock will be our pregame show. Of course, it's NHL trade deadline day as well. 3 o'clock this afternoon is the deadline. We'll keep you up to date throughout the day today. Ton of trades went down late last night and early this morning, including a couple involving the Sens. We spent a ton of time on that throughout the morning. We'll get back into it in just a couple of minutes and get to more your reaction as well. And one more code word in our Sens jersey contest. But Saturday night wrapped up a crazy NCAA hockey year in which we had some teams that never ended up taking to the ice. We had other teams that started and had to stop. But we did get to a Frozen Four and a national championship game. And the UMass Minutemen won the first championship in school history by beating St. Cloud State 5-0 in the championship game on Saturday. The head coach of the team is Greg Carville. He was a longtime head assistant coach here in Ottawa with the Sens, and a couple of local players are part of that UMass team as well, including the team captain, Jake Gaudette, is from Ottawa and joins us this morning on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. How are you doing this morning, Jake?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
We're great. Are you good? I mean, 36 hours later, have you gotten some sleep? Kind of take us through what this last day and a half has been like.
Yeah, good might be a little bit of an understatement. No, it's been awesome. What a feeling, right? To close it out, especially senior year as a UMass student, it's an unbelievable feeling. And we came home yesterday, had a huge parade on campus. Tons of people came out. So in a season where you don't get to see many fans, it was pretty special yesterday to see everybody turn out.
What's it like to know that your team is the first to win a national championship in your sport at a school?
It's really special. I think, we lost in the national championship 2 years ago, and we had a really deep team. You know, we had Kale McCarr and a bunch of other guys that are playing the NHL now. But to get back with kind of a different lineup, I thought we were deeper. You know, we didn't quite have as much maybe NHL firepower, even though we do still have some. But to get there and to win the national championships, it's a huge accomplishment. And, you know, you can see how excited the school and the community in Amherst is about it. And it's something that means a lot to all of us.
When you when this season started out and you're captain of the team and you're kind of assessing things, and I know you don't say this publicly to the team or whatever, but are you thinking to yourself, you know what, this is a team that's got the potential of winning a championship this year? Did you think that, or what were your thoughts going into the season?
Well, my dreams a little bit. I think at the start of the season, you know, we were just happy to be playing hockey for a long time. It didn't really seem like a season would happen, and to get the chance to play was really exciting. And, you know, we started to kind of figure out around Christmas time, I think, just how good our team could be. We had a lot of freshmen and a lot of new players coming in, some transfers. So it takes a while for everyone to adjust to the system that Coach Carville plays. And I think right around Christmas time, you could start to kind of get the feeling that, you know, we could really win some games and make something happen.
We're with Jake Gaudette. He is the team captain of the UMass Minutemen, who won the NCAA Hockey Championship on the weekend. As we all know, with in the NCAA, right, there reaches a point that once the series are done within your own conference, it's a one and done. There's the pressure of, you know, we cannot afford a loss. Kind of take us through, you know, the trip through regionals, first of all, then through the national semifinal, and then leading up to the championship game on Saturday and how nerve-wracking that is.
Yeah, we started the tournament in Bridgeport. We played Lake Superior State. I think we won 5-1, 4-1 or 5-1. We beat Bemidji State the following day, who upset Wisconsin as well to earn a ticket to Pittsburgh, which is super exciting. And as a program, we made it there for the first time to the Frozen Four in 2019 in Buffalo, so it was really exciting to get back. We played Duluth, who beat us the previous Frozen Four in the national championship 3-0, and for a lot of us, it was really exciting to have the opportunity to get to play them again. So we're down 2-0, or 2-1 going into the third. In that semifinal game, we ended up pulling out a win in overtime. And we played St. Cloud State the following day, or our Saturday night, and we won 5-0 to bring home the championship.
Yeah, that semifinal game. I mean, I was kind of following along online, and listen, at Duluth, they knocked off North Dakota, and as you probably know, there's a ton of Sens prospects on North Dakota, so people here have been following that team pretty closely. But when you played them in the semifinal, right? You guys were, in terms of shots, I don't know, you know, in terms of the play, but it seemed like you guys were widely outshot. And then all of a sudden, in overtime, you guys completely dominated the game. What changed in that semifinal?
Yeah, I'm not sure, honestly. We we knew we were playing for our lives, and we had a bit of an interesting week coming into the Frozen Four. We had a couple players run into COVID issues and stuff, so we had a couple days off. It almost felt like guys didn't have legs, really, till kind of the late second period, and we really started to kind of turn it on and realize how we could be effective against Duluth. They're a really strong playoff team. They're heavy. They're hard to play against, and you know, that's what makes them really strong, and you have to do specific things in the game plan to be able to kind of counteract that.
Yeah, it's not just, Jake, you weren't just missing kind of any guys. It was your starting goalie and one of your leading goal scorers. Like, we're not talking about guys that normally might be in and out of the lineup. These were a couple of key players. When you first heard the news that those guys in particular were not going to be able to play at least in the semifinal, what were your initial thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, we were heartbroken for, you know, a day or two until we got test results back. We weren't really sure if we'd even get the chance to go to the Frozen Four, which in itself would have been just heartbreaking, getting the chance to go and then losing it because of COVID. But, you know, as soon as we found out that we were still going to make the trip and that, you know, negative results pending, we would get to play, it almost felt like, you know, just if we were able to take the ice, we were going to find a way to make it happen.
And what was it like to get those players back? So once you got through the semifinal, you got a couple of them back for the championship game. How much of a boost was that?
Oh, it was awesome. We were having breakfast, I think, the next morning. They all walked into the hotel room we were in. And, yeah, it was just chaos. Like, so happy to see those guys. Felix Lindberg's an unbelievable goalie. He's a Minnesota Wild prospect. And then Carson Gusevich is one of my best friends. The guy's just full of energy, like a complete personality in the locker room, and it was tough not having him there. So to get him back, it was a huge boost for us.
Awesome. Jake Gaudette is the captain of the UMass Minutemen National NCAA National Hockey Champ. Every time I reintroduce you saying that, what kind of goes through your mind when you hear that?
It's still starting to kick in. I don't think it's fully set in yet.
Yeah, absolutely. So the championship game was, I mean, I was watching that, and like a championship game, Jake, normally isn't 5-0. At what point as that game is going on are you realizing, holy cow, we're actually gonna win this, and it's not gonna probably be too hard to win it? At what point did you reach that that state on Saturday night?
I remember, I think the third or fourth goal went in the second period. It's hard wearing a ladder too, because you got to make sure guys aren't getting too ahead of themselves and guys are focused on, you know, one shift at a time. But Coach Carvel brought us in kind of into a huddle in the third period with, you know, 3 or 4 minutes left, and just told the guys, he's like, you know, you guys are national champions. Just make sure you soak in these last couple of minutes, because as soon as the game ends, it's going to be chaos, and, you know, we're not going to be together on the bench as a group ever again. So appreciate the moment, and I thought that was pretty special.
Yeah, absolutely. But I also understand, I saw some comments from some other players in the last minute, even though you guys are up 5-0, he's still yelling at you guys to make sure you're covering your positions in there. You're a coach right till the final buzzer goes, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, that's Carvey. It doesn't matter the situation. If you're not playing the systems that we've talked about, you'll get an earful for sure.
One of the great honors of being a captain in any sport, but in particular in hockey, when there's a trophy or the NCAA championship is a beautiful plaque, is that moment when you get to skate over and pick it up and hoist it above your head and then your teammates. So kind of take us through that skate over, and did you visualize that moment ahead of time, and what did it feel like when you raised that plaque above your head?
Yeah, it's something, I think, it's a unique opportunity, especially this year. You know, we won Hockey East Championship, our playoffs as well. So to have two of those moments is really special. But just words can't even really describe it. Going over there and, you know, you're looking at all the guys you've worked so hard with for 4 years, and you get to kind of carry that trophy back to them. It's pretty special. It's something I'll never forget.
So Jake, let's go through your journey for those that may not be too familiar. And you certainly, I mean, you played double and triple A hockey here in Ottawa. You played, junior B at Ottawa West. You played Kempville in the CCHL for a while. And then you made your way to UMass. But when you're at UMass, being named a captain of a team is always a great honor. What did Coach Carvel tell you when he said he wanted you to become captain? And what did you take that to mean, to serve as the captain of a team?
Yeah, it's a huge honor. It's a huge privilege. You know, we've had a lot of great captains in my time at UMass, so I was really excited for the opportunity to kind of follow in their shoes. But he called me last spring and basically asked me if it was a challenge that I was willing to take. And, you know, it's a huge responsibility, but at the same time, it's a really cool opportunity. And I was excited to get the chance to try and help our team in a positive way and, you know, help lead us to success.
It's one thing to think about the idea of being a captain, and it's another thing to be the captain and actually have to do it. What were the kind of the challenges along the way? Maybe things that you didn't expect were part of the role of being a captain.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this year, especially with COVID, it was there was challenges in terms of just trying to find ways to get the guys together and socialize and make sure that, you know, as a team, we're together and we're hanging out and feeling close to each other, even though, you know, in some situations we're not really supposed to or there's rules that we have to follow. But I think overall, in a general sense, is I think just being the bad guy sometimes, you know, you're in a position where you have to step up and kind of speak up when things aren't done right or when things are going wrong. And sometimes that can be challenging. You know, it's always fun to have fun and be close with the guys, but sometimes you gotta focus on hockey.
Yeah, sometimes you're the peer, but then sometimes you have to be the boss, right? Which is always it's a tough line to walk.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, with Jake Gaudette, the captain of the UMass Minutemen, they just won the NCAA Hockey Championship on the weekend. So I want to kind of go back, Jake. You know, obviously getting recruited to play NCAA hockey is a great feather in your cap. But at the time that you were recruited, and you kind of take me through the process, I've gone through sort of, and Greg Carvel arrived the year before you went to go play at UMass. I'm looking at their record here, and 5-29-2, 5 wins and 29 losses. Did you have other options to go to other schools? What kind of take us through the process of deciding to go to UMass and joining a team that at that stage, at least, was not necessarily a team with a long winning track record?
Yeah. And you kind of touched on it earlier. You know, I played AA all through high school, I mean, AAA and Junior B. So for a long time, I think the goal was trying to get to college hockey. And it's not really something I even realized until I started playing in Kempville. The goal for a long time was, you know, to continue to improve and try and, I guess, reach the highest level I could. But to get to Kempville, I wasn't very heavily recruited until my 20-year-old year. And I actually broke my ankle, I think, 7 games into that season. So it was a bit frustrating to kind of get to that stage to start to talk to schools and then to get hurt. But luckily, UMass was in a position where I think they were talking to 2 other centers. They needed a center, and both those other kids committed elsewhere. So I was in a position where they kind of had a need, and we had a relationship that we had built. And I remember going down there. I think I visited a couple days after I got the cast off my leg, so I was kind of hobbling around a little bit. But I'll never forget the meeting I had with Coach Carvel. You could kind of just get the sense that he was a man of his word, and he had a dream of turning the program around, and he had the resources and the people in place to do it, and it just needed people to kind of to come in and join him on that journey. And, you know, I'm extremely happy that I did, looking back.
Can you kind of take us through why you think it, you know, to turn it? I mean, as you said, you made the semifinals a couple of years ago, or sorry, the NCAA finals a couple of years ago, and then you win it on Saturday. You know, as you're thinking about when you started to where you've now finished, are you surprised that you achieved the level of success you did with the school that, as we said, we're kind of coming from the ashes when you first arrived there?
I think at first, you know, when you commit, or even and before that, yeah, definitely surprised. But when you come here and you kind of get the sense from Carv, especially the brand of hockey we play and, you know, how demanding he is off the ice, not so surprised in a sense. You can just tell by, you know, the way he operates his team that he's trying to get the most out of them, and for whatever reason, it always seems like he's going to find a way to bring the most success to that team or program.
I know in just reading about the program itself, like UMass in terms of hockey, there was a school team, I think, until like the mid-70s, and it went away, and then it came back and went to Div 1, I believe, at some point in the 90s, and it's going to be kind of finding its way ever since. Do you spend a lot of time talking to you know, alumni, guys who played on the hockey team a long time ago, and what has it meant to them for you guys to bring home a first national championship?
It's awesome. I think this year, especially, wearing a letter, I've heard from a ton of alumni, and they're you know, great people. And for a long time, the hockey program, like you said, has kind of struggled. It hasn't been overly successful. So I think for a lot of people that played and wore the jersey, for them, it's extremely special to see us succeeding on a national level.
So what was it like, as you said, you guys arrived back at school yesterday and there's a parade? I mean, does the fun and what's kind of planned now for the next few days, if anything?
Yeah, I think this year, especially with COVID, it was pretty emotional for a lot of us. You don't see any fans all year. We had a few in the regionals, so some of the families were able to come down. But, you know, we got close to Amherst and there was cars lined up to wave us in. We got to campus. There's, you know, a couple thousand people all screaming and running around, kind of high-fiving guys. So we popped the windows on the side of the bus and we're high-fiving kids and saying hi to everybody as we came into campus. It was pretty special. And in terms of the rest of the week, we're not really sure. We're still working on the schedule, I think, but we're getting all the guys together. We're going to have a lot of fun here before the guys part ways.
Yeah, I was now, is your, in terms of you personally, is your school year actually done, or have you still got some classes to finish up?
I hope we got about 2 weeks left, so we're close to the end. And I took classes while I played in Kempville, so I actually only have one class left this semester. So
perfect. That's
pretty much done.
That's why you're the captain. You see, you're smart. See, you get that. you got to work ahead. I wanted to give you the opportunity because I know one of your teammates, Eric Faith, is from Ottawa as well, or from Carp, to kind of give him a shout out and what he meant to the team and what it was like to share a national championship with a fellow guy from Ottawa.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. I love Fader. He's a great guy. He works extremely hard. He had a bit of a frustrating injury, I think, in the playoffs this year. You know, with Carson being out in the national semifinal, he was able to step up, and I thought he played a huge role in that game. He, you know, he's a large reason why we were able to make it to the national final. He played great field minutes, and you know, I'm so happy for him to have that success as well.
All right, good stuff. Let's wrap up with this, because for you, I mean, this has been a long journey and four great years at UMass, but as you're playing that game on Saturday night and you're winning that championship, it's also your last game, as a college hockey player. Has that kind of hit you yet?
Kind of, yeah. We were all wearing our jerseys yesterday just celebrating, and, you know, for a lot of us, especially the seniors looking around, it's the last time you're going to wear that jersey, so it's pretty special, and to leave on top is an unbelievable feeling.
Yeah, I can imagine. Now, are there have you had any talks with any NHL teams about a potential free agent contract? Are you anywhere with any of that?
Not yet. No, I haven't talked to anybody, but hopefully hear something this week. That's the plan.
All right, good stuff. And I know you've skated with the Sens, right, before at some of their camps, so you've got a bit of a history with Pierre Dorion?
Yeah. Just, you know, shout out to all the Knights baseball players out there. What a team.
Perfect. I think there's more than a few people that know what you're referring to. Listen, Jake, that's an incredible accomplishment to see someone from Ottawa captain an NCAA championship-winning team. You did it. Congratulations. Enjoy what's ever left of your celebration time down at UMass.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. There's Jake Gaudet. He is the captain of the UMass Minutemen. They won the NCAA hockey championship on Saturday night, beating St. Cloud State 5-0. What a great day and week ahead, I'm sure that promises to be. All right, low past 9:30. We'll get you the latest on the NHL trade deadline, set up Sens and Jets coming up tonight at 7 o'clock. We got another code word for our Sens jersey Monday giveaway as well. All coming up right here on Sports Radio, TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
All right, welcome back. 9:40 on this Monday morning. JR and Hammer with you. Simmer's off this week. A little piece of Sens news. Colin White has been activated off the injured list, so he is available to play in tonight's game versus the Winnipeg Jets. And we will see what else transpires during the day today. As we've mentioned throughout the morning, this will be the first day that Shane Pinto and Jacob Bernard Docker, out of quarantine now, will be able to skate with the team for the first time. Although, again, today's a game, so the game day skate, not the same as a typical practice. The thought is that probably they'll want to put them in at least one practice, full practice tomorrow before they play them in a game. But one never knows. We'll find out later on this morning. DJ Smith will have his media availability, which we will have for you right here on TSN 1200. The other thing, of course, that we're tracking is NHL trade deadline day, 3 o'clock this afternoon. The Sens made a pair of deals late last night involving pending free agent defensemen Mike Riley and Braden Coburn. Riley was traded to Boston for a third-round pick. Coburn was traded to the Islanders for a seventh-round pick. Both of those picks, by the way, are 2022 draft picks, which, as we said earlier this morning, makes a bit of sense given the fact that, you know, if Ottawa is more a better team next year, and then they have some draft capital potentially that they could then trade to bring in help to maybe make a playoff run next year. We'll see. But also the draft in 2022 is A, thought to be deeper than the 2021 draft, and B, you'll just have a lot more intel because A, the players will actually be playing next year, hopefully, all the prospective draft picks, they'll actually be on the ice next season as opposed to many of them this season. And so that'll be a huge part of why a lot of the draft picks that you've seen been traded already and will see being traded during the day today will likely be for 2022 draft picks. What will the Sens do the rest of today? General Manager Pierre Dorion just guessed it on the TSN Trade Center coverage with James Duthie. Here's that conversation.
I can tell you that Pierre Dorion, the general manager of the Ottawa Senators, 2 years in a row, the runner-up, and you could argue he got robbed because he's been very good to us as far as making significant deals right at the deadline. He joins us now from Ottawa. You traded two defensemen last night already, Mike Riley to Boston, Braden Coburn to the Islanders. Quickly, your rationale behind those deals, Pierre.
Well, the rationale with Mike Riley is last year when we got him in our lineup, he was someone that was going to come in until some of our younger players were able to step into a bigger role. Mike did that. Mike was probably our most consistent defenseman this year. He's not a very loud guy, but I think his play dictated how well he did for us this year with the minutes he logged playing power play, penalty killing, and at the same time getting a third-round pick. And what we feel will be a good draft was something that we couldn't pass up on. In my 20-some years in the NHL, I don't think I've met a better pro than Braden Coburn. And for us, it was, we think the Islanders definitely have a chance to win the Cup. For him to get a chance to play on a Cup-contending team, and he also hasn't seen his family since December 27th, was probably something that came into play. But Braden Coburn was just an example for all our young players here, how he worked out after every practice, after every ice session, the intangibles that he brought, the work ethic. When he went to the taxi, never said a word, just worked harder. So I think he was a great influence on our young players here.
I appreciate what you're saying about Braden, and it's a good reminder to all of us, trade deadline. We get lost in the numbers here, but there are always people involved and families involved, and particularly in this year with COVID, difficult circumstances for everybody. Some bigger deals in the last couple of years. Mark Stone traded on deadline day 2019, Jean-Gabriel Pageau on 2020, as you got the pieces for your rebuild. I'm going to assume nothing of that size from you today?
No, we won't be making any trades of that magnitude today. If anything, it'll be the same type of trades that we just made yesterday.
You've made the first deal of deadline day twice in the last 3 years, 9:30 a.m. Eastern, 9:41 a.m. Eastern to precise. Am I holding you up right now?
No, I just got off the phone with a GM I respect a lot. Told him I needed to speak with you, so he said, I'll let you go. He knew the importance of it. I don't think you're holding us up. A lot of things are being discussed, but for right now, I don't see anything happening in the next hour or so.
I'll ask you one more question and then you can get back to him. What are your established goals for the rest of this season? Getting some of the kids you've just signed, like Pinto, Jacob Bernard-Docker, perhaps playing more, Brännström?
I think those are all great points, James. For us, the first thing this year was about an evaluation of where our younger players would be. We see that we've got a great group of younger players. We want them to continue competing. Our team this year has competed, I would say, except for three or four games. We've been in every game. We've never quit. We make it interesting, even though maybe our talent is not hasn't been developed as high as other teams that we're competing in our division. And as we move forward here, both Shane Pinto, Jacob Bernard-Docker will play at a certain point in time. I think it's now is the time to continue the foundation for success next year. Hopefully Brännström will get more minutes, but that's what we wanted to do with him. And at the same time, just keep on improving on what we've done this year.
Well, get back on the phone. I don't want to put pressure on you, but it's sitting right here. Two-time finalists. It's still available today. Best of luck to you, Pierre. Best of the way. That's Pierre Dorion, the general manager.
All right, so there is James Duthie in conversation with Pierre Dorion, GM of the Sens, within the past half an hour to 45 minutes with an update on where we're at as far as the Sens go at the trade deadline day. So I was talking to Jake Gaudette. So what is it that Duthie has for the GM of the trade deadline trophy?
Well, you could hear the clankety clank of it. It doesn't sound like too much money. A lot of the budget for TSN was spent on that trophy, but it's GM, it's the MVP of the Trade Center GM
yes.
of the day. So whoever, what?
I know, but what is it?
It's just a big old clanky trophy. It looks like they just picked it up off a pawn shop.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Like, there's nothing special, nothing, okay. not a GM's face on the top of it. It's just a cheap-looking trophy.
In honor of Gino Retta, one of the great moments they've had in their Trade Center coverage over the years was Gino Retta with the llamas. It should have been a llama. It should have been a llama delivered to the Trade Center GM of the year. That's what it should have been done. All right, so to bring you back up to date on what Pierre Dorion had to say as far as today goes, we won't be, as a direct quote, we won't be making trades of that magnitude today, talking about Stone 2 years ago, Pageot last year. So, nor is there anybody that pops to mind, if you think about it, that would be of that magnitude that the Sens are interested. All of their best players are young players. Those are the players they're interested in keeping. So that makes a perfect sense. He says lots of things are being discussed as far as discussions with other general managers right now. Although nothing appears to be imminent within the next hour, but still over 5 hours to go. Sounds like if any trades are made by Ottawa, it'll be more of what we saw last night, which is established veterans for draft picks, which likely won't be that high. So we're looking at the likes of an Erik Gudbranson potentially, or an Artem Anisimov, Ryan Dzingel, Anton Forsberg. Although Steve Lloyd points out, and it's a very good point, that because Anton Forsberg was claimed off waivers, that if he was claimed by other teams on waivers besides Ottawa, he actually has to be offered to those teams first through waivers before he can actually be traded. So given the fact that he seemed to be a popular waiver claim because he moved to, what, three different teams over the course of the season, I don't know whether a team... Now, at this stage, everybody's kind of trying to get their roster set. So anyway, that will be... It sounds like it's a... It probably won't happen in terms of Forsberg. But again, him playing on Saturday was a curiosity to me and a lot of other people. When we were told when the goalie coaching change was made, it was about getting Matt Murray for sure and to a lesser extent Marcus Hogberg kind of back up and running before the end of the season to decide where they're at. And for Marcus Hogberg in particular, he doesn't have a contract beyond this year. Do they want to even move forward by offering him a contract for next year? Well, part of that evaluation process, I would presume, would be to actually watch him play in games. He got in the game against Edmonton on Wednesday, I believe it was, Tuesday or Wednesday. And then Forsberg played the very next night. Okay, he doesn't play back-to-back, so I get that, coming off an injury. But then he sits again 2 days later when they play in Toronto, which is a, you know, it's a rivalry game, it's a pressure game, it's Saturday night, hockey night in Canada, it's all that other stuff that... If you want to hold a guy's feet to the fire, that would be the type of game I think I would want to play a goalie like that. But DJ Smith has been very much all year. I put in who I think gives us the best chance to win. Not arguing that Forsberg gives them the better chance to win right now. He has played pretty well since they brought him in. But again, if this year is all about evaluating for next year, shouldn't you? We all sort of know what Forsberg's all about, don't we, to a certain extent? We certainly don't know right now what Marcus Hogberg is all about.
Or maybe they think they know what Marcus Hogberg is about, and they're going to move away from him. What's going to be interesting is when Matt Murray is officially ready to play and he gets activated onto the main roster, which goalie goes down to the taxi squad?
Yeah.
Who's going to take that? Although you've seen players at least bounce back and forth, money being the biggest reason for that, but will the goalies do that as well, depend on who's going to be the backup? Because I'm thinking right away, when Matt Murray's ready to go, he's taking that number one job again, because that's the guy, that's the goalie that you've invested into for the next 3 years.
Yes.
And in terms of salary as
well. Yeah. If we're talking about a pecking order of what they need to figure out in the last 14 games of the year, Matt, and we're doing it out of 100, Matt Murray takes up 80 of the 100. Marcus Hogberg, in my opinion, takes up 15, and Forsberg takes up 5, right?
But now we're all shaking our head. Is that the case? Is that how it breaks down? Because
maybe they've decided that Forsberg is going to be the backup next year.
That's what I'm thinking. Because why would you go back-to-back?
Now he's a UFA. You'd have to sign him, right?
Yep, and Marcus Hogberg can just leave and go on his own. But maybe that's the thought process, or maybe they're trying to get Forsberg some more game. Well, I guess you can't dangle him in terms of an expansion draft option.
No, he's a UFA,
he's gone. But maybe that's what they're looking long term. Hey, you know what? We've seen enough of Hogberg. We get it. maybe Forsberg is the one that we're going to go with as a backup to Matt Murray.
He also said, Pierre Dorion said, this year has all been about evaluating where our young players are at. In terms of JBD and Shane Pinto, who are skating with the team today for the first time. And again, it's a game day skate. It's not a full practice. He says, quote, they will play at a certain point, which
definitely doesn't mean tonight.
It definitely means not tonight. But that's sort of just that did not sound like Wednesday either to me.
A little wishy-washy on that date.
Yeah, exactly. Now, sometimes, and Pierre Dorion at times, and this is not a criticism, but at times sometimes struggles with how to put things in context in English, I think a little bit. So I'm not going to overread into that. At a certain point could mean Wednesday, because I think a lot of people would like to see those players in sooner rather than later.
There's no reason to keep them going, too, because you can easily take a forward out to get Pinto in and make room for him and easily get a defenseman gone. Well, not gone, but move him out to give JBD an opportunity. But you just wonder what kind of practice they're going to see. They're going to have this game day. You figure on Tuesday they're going to have a full practice again. Maybe another game day skate on Wednesday before taking on the Jets again. So I still think Wednesday is a pretty good bet that we're going to see one, if not both, in the lineup. Plus, it's all been figured out in their deals. They're going to see some NHL action sooner rather than later. And if it's not working out, get them with Belleville and let them play some games there.
The other thing that's mentioned is Eric Brännström will get, to use his words, more minutes toward the end of the year as well. Maybe as soon as tonight with Mike Riley gone. Do we see, and we'll, you know, they'll line up again this morning at 10:30, I believe it is, that whether we see Eric Brännström beside Artem Zub. I think a lot of people have been calling for at least a look that Artem Zub. It was interesting, he called Mike Riley their most consistent defenseman this year. I would argue that Zub probably has been their most consistent defenseman. Now, Riley brings a completely different element to the table, and I think he has been pretty consistent. I think, by and large, he's certainly delivered with the puck on his stick that we all knew that he would. It was defensively that he struggled going into this year, and I think he has become competent, I think is competent defensively. They've got him on the penalty kill now. I think, DJ Smith has shown a lot of faith in Mike Riley. And Ian raised a good point this morning based on, where and how much Mike Riley is playing, that Mike Riley was a favorite of the coach. So I'm sure the coach is, if the coach is all about who's going to allow me to win a game tonight, he'd be disappointed that Mike Riley is not going to be on his bench to play in the game tonight.
But was Mike Riley going to be, say, 2-3 seasons from now, still on the Sens blue line? I don't think so in terms of depth, because I think for a contract, he was going to be looking for a hefty raise after this season. So it's best to move him out, get something for him. And Pierre Dorion talked about the 2022 draft, get as many picks as you can, because in his words, he thinks it's a deep draft. So get more picks for that year and see what you've got now. And Eric Brännström and JBD and other defensemen, Jake Sanderson possibly at the end of his college year next season, and see what you got there and start building.
Yep, absolutely. So that is the one thing that I'll watch for.
In terms of the blue line, I'd definitely watch for it.
All right, so that is the update. Sorry, I had to talk to Hammer off the air about something. All right, so that is the update. So there we are. We're right up to speed. So I wanted to end with a clip because it's been kind of a crazy day. We got 5 more hours before the trade deadline. Steve Lloyd and Graham Creech will take you through the next 4 hours with all the updates on what's going on. But it's been a crazy day. But we're going to go back to a little this day in sports history to wrap the show, because it was on this day in 1997, after 4.5 years of not just bad hockey, historically bad hockey, from when the Ottawa Senators started in 1992 to April the 12th, 1997. Let's take you to what was then known as, I think, still the Palladium, or was it the Correll Center? It's the early days.
I'm gonna put money on Correll Center.
I think it's gonna go Correll Center.
I'm probably
as well.
Wrong.
Yeah, it
easily
is. So the final home game of the season, I believe, and the Ottawa Senators are a win away from clinching a playoff spot for the very first time. It's a scoreless game late in the third period. Take it away, Dave Schreiber.
Yashin trying to get around Galley. Yashin almost did. Yashin across to Nushane. He scores. Steve Nushane. Ottawa leads 1-0.
There you go. Steve Duchesne's goal, beating Dominic Hasek for what would be the only goal of the game that Ron Tugnutt made stand up. There's the very famous photo that I think was on the front page of the Ottawa Citizen the next day, taken from behind the net of Ron Tugnutt, kind of is all his teammates are kind of rushing toward him, and he's raising his arms as the Senators clinch their first ever playoff spot on this day in 1997. There's a little positive Sens history news for you today. All right, and with that, we will put a wrap on the show. And thank you very much for listening. Thanks to Ian Mendez for pinch hitting for Simmer for a couple of hours earlier this morning. As we mentioned, we got full coverage of the trade deadline right up through the rest of the day coming up on In the Box. Steve Lloyd, Graham Creech, then this afternoon, Lee and AJ start at 2 o'clock. 5 o'clock, it's the Sens game day, our pregame show, taking through 5 to 7. Then Dina Gord will have the call of the game tonight between the Sens and the Winnipeg Jets. We're going to be back tomorrow morning to wrap it all up, see what's up. We'll get maybe a little more of a forecast on what's up with JBD and Shane Pinto and their contributions to the Ottawa Senators lineup. So we'll have lots to discuss tomorrow. In the meantime, have a great day. Four more code words on the way, including a couple on In the Box. Have a great day. Enjoy the sunshine. We'll chat tomorrow here on TSN 1200. Time is it?